Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of Lesbians Who Write. And this time around, we're going to be talking about how's your 2019 going at the halfway mark. There or thereabouts. We're a couple of weeks over the halfway mark, but we're not going to quibble, are we, TB? Anyway, as I say, joining me, Claire Lydon, today is the grumpy but gregarious TB Markinson.
Oh, I shouldn't be this way, but I am kind of proud that you called me grumpy, because I can be grumpy. The people who know me off the podcast and in real life, that's one of the words they call me the most, is grumpy. And one of my nicknames used to be Garfield.
Well, there you go. See, I'm glad I got it right. I just thought that the last couple had been a little bit too nice to you. So I thought I'd throw in a midway one. It's not a horrible one. Everyone can be grumpy.
No, I like to think of myself as the charming grump. And it's partly because I stay really in touch with political events. So when I'm at the pub, I may talk about things that bring people down. So I'm not going to do that on the podcast, because that's not the right thing to do.
We're not a political podcast, but we can understand how political events of late could well make you grumpy in the UK and the US. But let's not talk about our ridiculously blonde and orange people in charge. Because we're about to have one as well. In fact, by the time this podcast goes out, he might already been there. Anyway, we're not political, are we? No.
I am in my real life, but not on the podcast. No. I am charming TB on the podcast.
Charming and grumpy. So we are recording this. We're going to be, as I said, upfront about this. We are recording it early, so this will go out on July the 15th, but we're recording it just at the end of June because we are away a lot in July, so we're getting ahead of ourselves. So we haven't got a lot of other things to say about what we've been doing with our week because, it's 15 minutes later. However, I will tell you how I've been doing. I did listen to an interesting podcast this morning, and it was Joanna Penn, who's a brilliant indie author, and she does great podcasts called The Creative Pen. And she had a audiobook narrator on. Now, this woman, she was immense. She was called, I think she was called Lorelei King, and she is a very, very, what is she?
Very confident?
She's very she's a very articulate and like me, and experienced audiobook narrator. And she was giving tips on how to narrate an audiobook and the best way to be a good audio narrator, or just an audio anything, i.e. a podcaster. So tips for being a great podcaster are to stay hydrated, keep your blood sugar levels up. Have I been doing that? Prepare, which we just did, listeners, off air.
Yes.
Had a 20 minute break to prepare, and practice. So hopefully we are getting better at this, TB. What would you say? Do you think we're getting better with practice?
When we first discussed it, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be, because, I've never done it. You had been doing your podcast. So, but no, I think I'm surprised by how much I'm actually enjoying it. Not that you aren't charming to be around all the time, but I'm surprised how much I look forward to sitting down for our chats and discussing a new topic each week. And I'm learning things. I'm forcing myself to learn things that I should have known before, because now I need to share it with listeners. So it's one of those, it's been a good experience all around.
Well, good. And now we know the best way to make it even better in future is to drink water. Although she did say don't drink, which I did love, don't drink coffee or tea. Don't drink anything with milk, because that's claggy and can affect your voice. So drink water and eat bananas. Don't eat chocolate. Apparently that's bad. So, I've been sitting there eating chocolate and drinking really strong coffee. Apparently that's bad.
I'm drinking tea, but it doesn't have milk. It has honey because I'm still struggling with that cold. Now, listeners, it's not a 4-week cold. We've recorded a few of these episodes ahead of time. So I'm not that ill. I'm not like in the hospital.
TB's so ill. Please send cards and flowers. She's just ill forever.
But is tea with honey? Is that on the approval list?
I suspect it would be, because isn't honey good for your throat? Well, that, at least you
I
know,
really hope so.
Yeah, I mean, all the cold sweets have honey in, and I know that when my dad had a cold, he always used to drink whiskey with honey in, and I do that as well, mainly because I like whiskey, and so it like it's an excuse. Not that I need an excuse, but you know what I mean.
Anyway. I used to like whiskey, and then I had a really bad whiskey night, and just the smell now takes me back to that night. Mostly the day after, actually. It should be the day after.
Yeah.
So, you know, for any young listeners out there, it's not good to ruin one of your favorite drinks early on in life.
Well, you see, I think I did the same. I had a very bad night on whiskey when I was about 17. Obviously, you shouldn't be drinking at 17, but I was a lawbreaker from a very young age. I'm a rebel. I drank very bad whiskey. And couldn't drink it for years. But then my wife's a big whiskey drinker, and so she had a lot of whiskey in the house, and I just decided to try it one day when she was having one. And now I'm a whiskey snob, and I only drink really expensive whiskey, and she's really depressed because now I drink all her whiskey. So that'll learn you.
Do you belong to like one of those private drinking clubs?
No, I'm not that drinky. I do have a really, really nice vintage cocktail cabinet, though, that lights up when you open it, and it's all mirrored, so that's very exciting to drink from.
I know, I saw it and I was just like in awe, and I was like, I really need one of those, but I haven't gone that far down the path yet.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we are, I don't know if listeners have noticed, we are putting photographs with our podcast now on the website, so if you haven't been and had a look, there'll be a photograph of one or both of us or one of us. But maybe for this episode, we can put a picture of my light up drinks cabinet.
Are you going to be in the photo, though?
I can be.
Yeah.
My drinks cabinet's called Elizabeth. So she has a name. She's called Elizabeth because she's regal. So we decided to call her after the Queen.
So do you ever just call her Queenie?
We don't. She's royal. We're respectful of Elizabeth. Let's get on. So have you got anything to say about the last 20 minutes? Or should we get on to comments?
Well, I did make a new cup of tea, so I'm trying to stay hydrated. So I am picking up on some of these tips.
It's good.
But other than that, I did not eat any cookie dough, and I did not have any ice cream. And I do have chocolates next to me, but I'm going to not eat them now.
So let's get on to comments. Comment on to.
All right. So as we said last week, if you didn't hear your comments, that's because we saved them for this week. So we have Gabby from Les Review Books. She thanked us for cheering her up on every Monday, and then she emailed us both. She has a website also, Les Food, where she pairs a recipe with a Les Fic book, which I think is very clever of her. But since I talk about cookie dough a lot, and Claire was confused about how she could get cookie dough in the UK, she supplied a cookie dough recipe I'm going to have to give a go. I don't usually bake my cookie, like, I just buy the cookie dough in the tub because I'm American and we're lazy. I might have to give this cookie dough recipe a try, and maybe I should take photos for that episode.
Yes, you definitely should.
All right. So, Gabby, thanks for sharing that, and stay tuned. Hopefully I don't blow up my kitchen. I'm not known for my cooking skills.
And also, actually, that was the comment I was going to share. So, but Gabby also, if you go to lesreviewbooks.com, she's got a couple of really good quizzes on there, which I've taken. So it's like, what personality book reader are you? And there's another one. So they're like those BuzzFeed quizzes, but for lesbian fiction. So head on over to lesreviewbooks.com and take the BuzzFeed quiz.
I'll have to do that after we finish this call. And then we had a comment from Christy via email. She thanked us for writing and for the podcast. And she said that their Pride in Canada is coming up, so it may be happening now since we're recording this ahead of time. And she has been taking her daughter since she was 2 years old. So way to show your pride, not only yourself, but with your children. The best way to overcome hate people is to teach people young that everyone's just pretty much the same. We had a comment from Jane via our email, and this is a comment I wanted to mention to you so you could add it to, since you are the list maker of our upcoming episodes, but I wanted to let Jane know that we are discussing it. She has a comment about our process of the flow, like do you write a first draft, and then do you have a beta reader, or like what actually steps we take? So if we want to add that to our list of things to discuss, because I think some other people might find that interesting as well, since I think you and I both do things rather differently, like everything else. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, you know, Claire and I, We rarely see eye to eye, but we get along so well. So, again, that thing, everyone can get along if you just, you know, listen. Listen and be nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm feeling the love this episode. I really am.
And then Kathy, she commented, and she's been inspired to write her first novella, and the podcast has helped her. So, way to go, Kathy. And I and Claire, well, I shouldn't speak for you, but I'm pretty sure I can speak for you on this comment. We're cheering you on. You should write that first novella. So, and if you have any questions about the process or anything, let us know, and we will discuss on an upcoming episode.
I'm cheering you on, Kathy. Go, Kathy. Go, Kathy. I don't know why I don't know why I went American there. Do you know why?
Because you are envious Americans. We're pretty fucking cool.
Let's go with that.
And then we have another ice cream comment, Claire. Rose emailed our podcast email, and she said that she's shocked that you think honeycomb, which I guess is cinder toffee to people up north, is made with butter. But I'm not sure what it actually is made of. I have looked into the honeycomb since the last time you mentioned this flavor. I was just completely fucking baffled by it. When you say it's cinder toffee, it sounds really delicious. I would go for that.
Oh, okay. And actually, it just reminded me, in the restaurant, the posh restaurant where the people were going to Hamilton, they made their own honeycomb, and it was one of the petit fours that they brought with the coffee. So I had a whole jar of homemade honeycomb, and we took a picture of it for you. So I will send it to you. So you can see what homemade honeycomb looks like, and it was delicious.
I'm looking forward to that. But Rose also said, besides correcting you on the honeycomb, she says it's an awesome podcast, and she's had to confess to her colleagues why she's been giggling at work, so she no longer appears eccentric. But so I'm kind of sad she no longer appears eccentric, because, you know, those people who just laugh out loud and you don't know why, I always find them so charming for some reason.
Talking of honeycomb ice cream, which we kind of just were, I know that we haven't had any cookie dough Hamilton because we're recording this straight after. However, I have one more reveal to do for the ice cream flavours for my upcoming lesbian romance, A Taste of Love, due out the week of July the 24th. So you ready?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous because, you know, I've only liked one, and I'm starting to feel really guilty about not liking your ice cream flavours.
But last week was a good one because it was banoffee. You liked that. So the next flavour is a gin and tonic sorbet.
This is different, but I have to admit, I'm glad you made it a sorbet, because of ice cream with the cream, it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a gin and tonic sorbet sounds so refreshing, and people might not know this about me. Gin and tonic is my favorite drink.
Wow. Did I make you a gin and tonic when you were here?
I think we talked. No, you did. You did. It was in a really big glass. It was delicious.
Well, there you go. I am famed for my gin and tonic making. My family think I'm a gin and tonic wizard. Here's the trick, everyone. Put some ice in it. My family are ice averse. And so that if my dad offers you gin and tonic, he'll just put some gin and tonic in a glass. That's it. No ice, no lemon, nothing. No care, no love. Whereas I put ice and lemon in, and it's like amazing. Not just 2 cubes of ice, but a lot of ice, like American style ice. It's all about the ice. And I know that Americans will be shocked and aghast by the lack of ice, but in the UK still, a lot of people don't use ice that much. In pubs, you know, you might get 1 or 2 cubes. If you go to like a more cool bar, you might actually get a decent amount of ice. But for me, the ice is the key. So, which is why gin and tonic sorbet works, because it's all about ice, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't even think of that connection. But yes, that is very good. And can we make this for real?
I'm sure we probably can. Yeah, I'll just pour a load of gin and tonic over ice and call it a sorbet. How's that?
I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
So let's get on then to this week's question, which is, how's 2019 going for you? Because we're mid-July, so we're just past the halfway mark. And so we thought we'd do a recap of, you know, how it's going for us, because there have been things that have happened that we planned and things that have happened that we didn't. So, TB, how's 2019 going for you?
I won't lie, this has been a rough year. 2019 was, I had high hopes. I think everybody, when they start planning the next upcoming year, has really high hopes of wow, this is going to be the year. This is the year I'm going to, like, break out and I'm going to, like, be successful in every aspect of my life. I did start off the year very strong with sales. The money coming into my bank account was very pleasing. So I started off strong, and then I started writing this new project. And I think I was talking to you about it when I was back in the UK in March. I hit the wall on this writing project, and I had to scrap it completely. So that put me way behind on everything else. I could not figure out this book, and I was quite far into it when I realized, fuck, I gotta fucking ditch this. So that put me back. And so, funny that we're actually discussing this today, because yesterday I just put together my new schedule for 2019. I know it's almost July. Well, when people are listening to this, it will be July. But I've just mapped out my, I have a new roadmap.
Yeah, I can see it. She's holding it up, everyone. It's color-coded and everything. It looks very delicious.
It's color-coded, as opposed to last year, which was 2018, if I'm doing my math correctly.
Well done. Yeah.
I had a decent year. It was topsy-turvy on many other fronts, because I ended up having, like, two international moves within a 12-month period, so that was a bit rough.
Not optimal.
But since I had been living in Dublin prior to that for 18 months and I wasn't allowed to publish, I had a lot of books stockpiled. And so last year I was able to do rapid releases, which was great. And I was able to get reacquainted with my readers and everything. And like I said, I had higher hopes for 2019. But I think also part of the fact that since I was writing so much when I was in Ireland, I think I hit burnout a little bit. And so it's been a bit rougher on 2019. So I'm trying to take a step back a bit. I'm still focusing on marketing and everything. And that was another thing. Since I was in Ireland, wasn't doing much marketing because I wasn't really allowed to. So I'm getting back into the groove with doing not only book releases, but marketing and writing. And it's like three full-time jobs, and then we started the podcast, and I also have the website iHeartLesvic. So I've been drinking from the fire hose quite a bit so far in 2019, and I think I need to – well, like I said, I looked at my schedule yesterday and started trying to figure out ways where I don't constantly break.
Yeah, because I think at the moment you are a little bit breaky, as you said, with your back. And with your cold.
Yes.
So yes. Taking some time, and this is another thing about change, isn't it, which we've discussed quite a lot in the podcast. And if things don't exactly go to plan, that's all right. You can just reschedule, reframe. It's all about your mindset and just reframing. And if you need to take a little step back and for a bit of self-care, that will actually work out better in the long run. So don't kill yourself now. Because you know, that'd be bad.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I mean, it's just been such a night and day, though. With last year, I was releasing so many books. I think I released 7, and then this year so far in 2019, I've only released 1. Well, as this goes out, I will have released the second one, which is the book in our Cotswold series. So it's a bit different on that end, but I also have been making strides on other ends. It hasn't been a total bust this year. I'm one of those people who I like to stay positive. I like to give myself good things to think about. My website, iHeartLesvic, is busting out this year. It is the amount of visitors and everything is really excelling. The massive sales I've been putting together are becoming quite successful. So that's a positive. My newsletter subscribers for my author website, I mean, for my author business, has grown quite a bit. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. I'm releasing audiobooks, so I have had audiobook releases. And so it's one of those things where it can be discouraging because, like, especially since I was writing so much in Ireland, and then when you're writing, like, 5,000 to 7,000 words a day for a long period of time, you think for a while, I can keep up with that pace. It's not bad. You can't. And you have to realize when it's time to pull back, and it's time to say, you know, or like I had to do with a project. I think I talked about it with you when I was like, I think I need to scrap this. And you highly encouraged me to scrap it because it wasn't working and it was driving me crazy. And I was spinning my wheels and I wasn't able to move forward on a different project. So you have to, it's one of those things where I know we're doing this at the halfway mark of the year, but it's something I also do at the end of the month. I do look at numbers and everything, and it's one of those things where I'm always constantly assessing what's working, what's not working, what do I need to do to move my career forward. And a lot of the times, everyone's like, you know, you need to keep publishing, you need to keep publishing. Sometimes it's best to pull back and not publish as much, because if you just keep publishing just for the sake of publishing, you're going to publish crap. And I have a bit of a back catalog now. I think I have 21 or 22 books out. So I don't have to publish at rapid speed all the time. And readers, I mean, they're anxious for new stories, but they're also very understanding. And I've been honest with my newsletter subscribers saying, you know, this has been a rough year. Everything has been kind of different for me. And they're very encouraging. So don't worry too much about losing your readers, as long as, you know, you keep dialogue open, and I have with my website and everything. But sometimes things don't go according to plan.
No, but communicate and connect. Your tribe, as they say, find your tribe, and your tribe, i.e. your readers, will understand that life happens and so some things don't work out exactly as you planned. But, you know, if you just communicate and connect with them and tell them that, they understand that you're a person and things do happen. I hope they understand I'm a person anyway. Do you think they do? Do you think they understand I'm a person?
I think most do. I mean, I've sent emails out. I think they do.
Okay,
I've sent
it's good
emails
to know.
Out. I mean, I sent emails out, like, after my cat died, I was like, I'm devastated and my cat died. And I got such touching responses from people. People do care. I mean, and they do want to cheer you on. And they do, I think, understand, you know, life happens, things happen. I've had a lot of changes in my my private life that have knocked me for a loop. And everyone has been very positive. And it's one of those things where you just have to, like we keep talking about, you have to adapt, you have to change. But you have to also, I think this is key, keep moving forward. Even if you're not publishing new books, keep moving forward in other avenues. Like, I've been reaching out to my newsletter subscribers more. We started this podcast, which is another channel to reach listeners for podcasts, potential readers, but also connecting with other authors. I mean, there's other avenues you can explore if you hit a creative wall. So now that I've let everyone know that my year has not started off as well as I'd like, Claire, what's your story?
My year. Well, I did start out, the last 2 years, I've started out with a color-coordinated spreadsheet, a little like yours. My wife's very handy for that because it's all in Excel with all the colors and things, and she set it up for me, so well done her. So I did it one in 2018, and then I did one in 2019. And I think, like you, I started out 2019 with Incredible Hulk. That's good noises, right? Incredible Hulk style noises coming out of my mouth, and, you know, I'm going to make this the year that really, yeah, something. Anyway, I've hit quite a lot of the things that I wanted to do, and I haven't hit some of the other things I wanted to do. But I'm okay. I think overall, I'm pretty okay with where I'm at. So let me tell you what I plan to do. And this is quite interesting, actually, because I plan to do this by the end of July. So so we're nearly at the end of July now. This goes out on the mid-July. By the end of July, I hope to have 3 books out. Now, I got You're My Kind out in March, and that did really well. So I was really pleased with how that was received. But, you know, I was pleased with the book anyway. But it was nice that it got a lot of readers, so that was great. And The Cotswolds Village Romance, A Taste of Love, is coming out next week. So by the end of July, I will have 2 books out, not 3. However, the other book that was going to come out was London 6, Made in London, and the London Romance series. And I have written it, and it's been edited. So it'll be the next one to come out. And I'm planning that September, October time. So I just held back, actually, on your advice as well, on publishing that, because I was going to try and squeeze it in the middle. But it would have really stressed me out, and I don't actually think I could do it. So actually, your advice was good advice. So we've both given each other good advice. Isn't that good? That's great.
It is. And this is helpful for listeners who are in this process as well. It is good to have someone in the field that you know well enough and you trust well enough to bounce ideas off, because I remember sitting in the pub going, I don't know what to do with this book, and you were able to help me and apparently I helped you. I don't remember giving you that advice, to be honest. Was this after the gin and tonic you fixed me?
Can I just say that I don't remember telling you to ditch the book either? So brilliant. We give each other great advice, but we don't remember it.
But it's funny that we both remember hearing it, I know, but not giving advice. I wonder what that says.
Yeah. What does that say? No, yeah, yeah. I was going to try and squeeze in the launch of Made in London in between You're My Kind and A Taste of Love, and you just said, what on earth are you doing? Because you're still writing A Taste of Love, and why are you stressing yourself out so much? And, you know, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of authors out there who do rapid, not just in Lesvic, in the world in general, who do rapid release of books, and like, really, and do you know what? I don't know how they do it. All power to them, frankly, because a launch takes it out of me. It really does. Yes. And when I'm launching, I can't do anything else. And so, like, you know, and I knew I had a deadline to meet for A Taste of Love for the editor and everything. So I knew I had to get that book written. And if I'd have been trying to launch as well at the same time, it would have been a disaster. So well, yeah. Done. Good advice, even though you don't remember giving it. Another thing I had planned for this year was to write a short story every single month. I haven't written one short story yet. So that one really going well. Yeah, I had a thing that I was going to write a short story every month. So
was this a short story you were going to publish, or was this like something you were going to offer as a bonus to readers?
Yeah, I just wanted to get a few short stories in the bag, and then maybe offer one as a sign up to my mailing list kind of thing. Maybe change the story I'm giving away already.
Yeah.
Or maybe just then compile them and put them in a book of short stories at some point.
I've had this idea as well, and I think you gave me the idea because you were discussing, I think it's Rachel Herron.
Yeah.
And how she does her Patreon, and how each month she does a new essay that they get. And I keep meaning to sign up for this. I need to sign up for it because you said the essays are really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, she publishes it as a book. So I've also had the idea of writing a short story.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's where I got it. See, it's all coming back to me now. This is my. I was like, I don't even remember having that idea. You see, I have great ideas and then I forget them.
I remember actually when we had this conversation, it was on the drive back from the Cotswolds. You were telling about it in the car, and I was like, that's a really brilliant idea. And I do like writing short stories, and I started off writing short stories in the very beginning, and because they're short and they're refreshing and everything.
They're short and story-ish.
So, brilliant definition on my part. But I haven't been able to implement it as well. So maybe 2020.
2020, everyone. You heard it here first. I tell a lie. I have written one short story. I wrote that for a different thing, a project that never came off, like a friend anthology. So it's there. So I've written one. So yay! I did myself down.
Do I get to beta read that one?
You can read it if you like. Yeah. I'm really pleased with it, actually. I'll send it to you. So I still would like to do that. You know, it's brought it back into my mind. I wanted to get the audiobook of London actually out. That is out, so tick. I wanted to get the audiobook for You're My Kind commissioned. I've really failed on this one. I did ask the Lesbian Fiction Audiobook Group who their favourite British narrators were, because I want to try a new one, but it's fallen by the wayside, so I need to do that. The other thing I was going to do was Facebook Live every month. Well, I did start to Facebook Live once a month, and I think that was a little bit too much because I was getting questions in from readers with no friction if I was doing it every 2 months, but once a month was a bit much. So I have gone back to every 2 months. I think I did my last one in May, so I am due one in July. So I'm going to, whether that happens, because I'm away a lot in July, so it might tick to August. But it's one thing that I've really enjoyed doing this year, actually. I really enjoy the Facebook Lives. I think I've done 4 of them. They're great. You get great interaction, and I ask for questions up front from my mailing list, and I get them. So that's really good, and I've enjoyed doing it. My other podcast, The Lesbian Book Club, I've been a bit flaky on that one, mainly because I've just been writing a lot and I haven't had time to do it. But I am going to get back in the saddle with that one. I've just recorded a new podcast for that this morning, so I will be carrying that on. And the other thing I've done is stepped up my Instagram usage and just trying to do that more often to garner a bit of interaction and connection with readers on there. So that seems to be going pretty well, because that's a social media platform I really enjoy. I don't really enjoy Facebook that much, even though I put the odd thing up there, but I don't love it. I like Twitter and I love Instagram. So that was where I decided to spend my time.
what do you like about Instagram? That's one I'm not on, and I'm going to sound like an old person. I don't get it.
I think because, well, younger people are on Instagram, but also I like, but also I quite like, I like the picture, I like the graphic led format, but also you can write a lot on there, like the captions. You can write, some people's captions are amazing and they're really long. So I've really put quite a lot of effort into what I write on there. Not every single post, but I really try and make it thoughtful or funny or, you know, entertaining, educational, you know, all those buzzwords. Really hit the hashtags well so that I get out to the audience, and I think I am, you know, my followers are increasing. But it's not all about followers, it's also about engagement. And when I hit the right post, I can get a lot of comments. So that's gratifying, and I don't mind. Like, you know, you've got to like to do whatever social media platform you choose. And that's another podcast, but I've enjoyed doing that. I used to love Twitter. I've sort of fallen out of love a little bit with Twitter, but I'm still on it and I still do use it, but I'm not as interactive on it anymore. But one unplanned thing I had that's been immense is this podcast. I love it. I love doing it. It's been really fun. I love meeting up with you every week, and it's actually been, it's been educational and entertaining for me too when doing it, and I hope it's educational and entertaining for the audience as well. So that's been brilliant.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention another thing, that another change I wanted to make in 2019. I wanted, since I'm back in the US, I wanted to attend more conferences for writers. And that is one thing I've actually succeeded on. I started attending the Northeast chapter of RWA, the Romance Writers of America. I started attending monthly meetings, so I've been connecting with other romance writers. I actually, last weekend, I presented to the NEC chapter about I Heart Lesbic and the power of collaborating with other authors, because that is one of my things I've been really focusing on with I Heart Lesbic, is organizing these sales and everything.
The NEC chapter. Explain the NEC chapter.
That's the Northeast chapter of RWA. It's just called NEC.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to confuse everybody. I'm a lazy person, and so whenever I can use an acronym, I will use an acronym. So I've done that, and also I went to the Northeast chapter of the conference they had back in April. In May, I attended the Maine Romance Writers Weekend in, I think it was Portland. Actually, by the time this podcast airs, I will be returning from Pittsburgh, where I'm attending the Golden Crown Literary Society Conference in July. And then later in July, I am going to New York City for the Romance Writers of America, their national meeting in New York City. So that is one thing I wanted to succeed on, and I actually have been, and I've been making connections with other authors, and I wanted to put myself out there a bit more because I'm extremely shy person, and I've done one presentation. I have another presentation coming up in July, so I am getting a little bit better at that. It's one of those things that I have to constantly push myself, because surprise, an author who doesn't like to speak in public. Sounds shocking.
Surprise. Elizabeth Gilbert had a great quote on this yesterday, because she said that she's not like most authors. She does like to chat in public. And so she said she's a serious writer on the inside with the personality of an aerobics instructor. And so when she's writing, she has to put the aerobics instructor away. I liked that. And I think, wow. And she was brilliant speaker. But most writers don't like to do it. So well done you for getting out there and pressing the flesh and flying the flag for lesbian fiction. Upcoming in the rest of the year, I've already started another novel. I started it this week. I decided that I wanted to start a new book just to get the first draft writing flowing again. So I made a promise to myself that I was going to write at least 500 words a day, and I've done it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I failed today because I've just had so much to do. So, but I might fit it in. In fact, I will fit it in after this. So I'm only 3,000 words in, but I'm loving it. But maybe that's just shiny new thing, right? But the other thing I want to do is get You're My Kind into audio. Take my books wide in print and dig into advertising. I did do a whole day of swatting up on Amazon advertising the other week, so I'm going to dig into that as well. And look, I'm going to do a writing your memoir book because who knows when I'll get around to that, but it's something that's been on my mind for at least a year and a half now, so I need to just sort of scratch the itch. But to be honest, I've got my schedule for the year right to the end, but I couldn't really see at the beginning of the year past the end of July because I knew I had so much to do. And I've got quite a lot of it done, maybe 2/3, but once this book is out and then my London Six is out, then, but I think in August I'll sit down and reschedule. But you know, that's a valid thing to do, just as you've done, and you can do that. How about you for the rest of the year?
The rest of the year, I will be digging into, I need to get the next book out in the Miracle Girl series, and I've started the research. I had hoped to start writing it by now. The Cotswolds novel took me a bit longer than I was expecting. I don't know why. So that's my next big project as for writing. And then I'm trying not to promise too much on my end to my readers because I overpromised for 2019 and I feel terrible. So I'm trying to step back a bit. I can't keep doing the speed I was doing, and my back doesn't really like me right now. So I'm trying to assess what I can do. I have a few more audiobooks, a few more projects that I want to get into audio. And like you have been doing, I need to carve out some time to go over advertising. I need to watch the videos that I have paid for that have been sitting on my laptop that I haven't watched. And so that's the thing about this business. It's not just writing. There's so much you have to learn, and you do have to make time for it. So I am trying to make time for everything at a more reasonable pace without driving myself crazy or the people in my life crazy, because when they come home and I'm like, oh my God, my life was terrible. No one wants to hear that.
No, I do agree. You have to make time to do other things other than writing, which is a bit annoying because, you know, writing is what we're all in the business for. But actually, as I've said before, I've actually come to quite enjoy all the other aspects of the business. I love this podcasting aspect for sure. And I do actually like learning new things, much to my surprise, because I always thought I didn't. I am very anti-learning, which is
really
a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But yeah, I just think, oh, fuck off, I don't want to learn anything else. But actually, what I've come to realise is that I'm not as averse to learning new things as I once thought.
Yeah, I would have to say, because from our conversations and the amount of podcasts you listen to, I would never have thought you're anti-learning. I thought you're one of those people who just like to tuck into something and learn something. Because every time, even before we started this podcast, if we went to the pub together, like, you were always sharing new things with me. And so I can't associate you with anti-learning.
Well, there you go. I don't associate myself with anti-learning. So I think it's because I was in academia for so long, you see. I think, I did a PhD for 2 years. I nearly became a doctor. And then I realised you can't do anything with it apart from be in academia. And I hated academia. And so I think I came out of that very anti-learning. But I think that was in, you know, other jobs I've had. But this job is my best job I've ever had. And I want to learn more and I want to get better. And so I've actually done craft courses and advertising and other parts of the business. And I want to learn. So it's all about wanting to do it, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's another thing for the rest of the year I want to spend more time on, because I want to start reading more, not just about fiction. I already read fiction. I love reading fiction. But I want to read more nonfiction about not just the craft, the writing craft or anything, but you suggested the book to me that I keep meaning to read, and I just, this is going to sound terrible when you hear the title, Atomic Habits, but I just haven't been in the habit of reading. I want to focus more on staying positive, because I can sometimes, since this year has been a bit rough on me, but actually the past 12 months have just been very hard. There's been so many changes in my life. And I know I got down and I was eating a lot of ice cream and cookie dough. So, and it's one of those things where I need to claw myself back out of that hole that I got myself into. I need to become positive.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. But also, don't overburden yourself. Don't say you're going to do all these things, because then you might think that you failed. So don't set yourself up for failure. Set yourself up for success. And that, readers? No, you're not. Well, you probably are readers as well as listeners. But that's where we're going to end it today. So we hope you found our chat about how we're doing so far in 2019 enlightening, and that, you know, we don't always hit our goals, but we just keep going. And that is the message that we want to get out there. Just keep going. All right, we'll see you next time when we're going to be discussing lesbian characters in TV and film that have inspired us.
Ooh, I got to start watching some films, I think.
See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much, and see you next time.